Almighty God, under whose providence we hold responsibility for this city, grant us wisdom to understand its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion. And to thee be all blessing and glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. I will now say acknowledgement for country. I respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land in which we meet, the Whadjuk and Noongar people of Western Australia, and pay my respects to their elders past and present. It's a privilege to be standing on Whadjuk and Noongar country. I now formally declare the meeting open and welcome members of staff and members of the public in the gallery. I understand, Mr. Acting Chief Executive Officer, that we have no apologies.
That's correct, Chair Commissioner.
And there's no questions?
We do have...
I beg your pardon, yes, that's right.
Yes, we've got one question received from a Mr. Adam Hosking, 580 Hay Street, Perth, in relation to the path cycleway on the bridge to Harrison Island. I think Mr. Hosking's in the audience. Are you okay for me to read it out? So the question is, I'd like to know what the city is planning for the path cycleway on the bridge to Harrison Island. It is a heavily used cycleway section that has fallen into disrepair with multiple trip hazards and loose pavers. The Christmas break would be a good opportunity to fix the path or install bitumen with reduced impact to motor traffic. In response to the question, we'd like to thank you for your inquiry and bringing the issue associated with the bike path across the causeway to the city's attention. The city acknowledges that this is a heavily used path by both cyclists and pedestrians, and the importance of maintaining these facilities for public enjoyment and safety. However, the location you've referred to is under the care and control of Main Roads WA. Therefore, the city will forward your request to Main Roads WA for their investigation and appropriate action.
Thank you. Trust that's satisfactory to the person who's asked the question. Thank you. Are there any questions from the floor of the gallery? If not, I'll take it as nil. Mr. Acting CEO, I believe there's a couple of deputations.
Yes, Chair Commissioner, that's correct. So in relation, we've got a deputation request received from Lou DeFlorio from AdBrands Media in relation to item 13.4 on tonight's agenda, which is 190 Aberdeen Street, Northbridge. And a second deputation request received from Rowan McDougall in relation to item 13.5 on tonight's agenda, key development sponsorship, West Tech Fest.
Thank you. I'll do all the deputations now. If I could ask Mr. Lou DeFlorio to come forward to do his deputation. Thank you.
I guess, as you know, my name is Lou DeFlorio and I'm the manager for AdBrands Media, who have a development application before council for a proposed high-definition LED digital screen to hopefully be installed on a building located at 190 Aberdeen Street in Northbridge. Before I go too much further, I'd like to thank all the council officers and the commissioners for giving me the opportunity to be able to speak for this deputation. We have a very extensive road safety assessment report here. It's actually 42 pages long in total that was undertaken by Transcor, whose professional services are also utilised by Main Roads WA to conduct road safety reports. A City of Perth planning officer sent our proposal to Main Roads WA and also to the Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage for their comments. Main Roads WA have responded back to the City of Perth with only two minor comments. The first is that the size of the digital screen is larger than the current industry standard. However, the reason that it is larger is because it is much further away from the motorists driving east along the Graham Farmer Freeway, and it would make it a lot easier to read and comprehend the message by being larger. And this would also help to make it safer for motorists, as documented in the report by TransCorp. The second comment that Main Roads WA stated is that the proposed digital screen would be in a device-restricted area. However, the Road Safety Assessment Report states that the digital screen proposed at the subject site has been assessed on the merits of its design, content and placement, with due consideration given to the device restriction area requirements in a manner consistent with other existing approved advertising devices in Perth and in Western Australia. Main Roads WA has allowed and approved other advertising signs that are also located in device-restricted areas. The safety branch of Main Roads WA concurred with the conclusion in the Road Safety Assessment Report conducted by TransCorp and noted that these road sections of the Graham Farmer Freeway are within the low-risk category and meet the criteria for crash risk assessment. The Road Safety Assessment Report conducted by TransCorp on page 33 of the report under the heading Conclusion states the following. In conclusion, it is considered that the findings of the Road Safety Assessment are supportive of the proposed advertising sign. The Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage have submitted their comments to the City of Perth in regards to our proposal and state under the heading Conclusion of the report the following. The Department will be prepared to support the signage on condition that the advertisements do not interfere with sight lines, distract drivers, or have the potential to become confused with traffic signals or road signs. This position reflects the Commission's Advertising on Reserved Land Policy, DC 5.4, paragraph 5.3.1. In view of the above, the Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage raises no objections to the proposed advertising signage under regional transport planning grounds. I've actually got a... I'm not sure if you can actually see it from over there, but this is basically gives you a bit of an idea of the location it's going to be to the right-hand side. It's heading east along the Graham Farmer Freeway. And so basically, you can see the artist's impression photos. The digital screen is visible, directed to motorists travelling east along the Graham Farmer Freeway. The building is on the corner of Aberdeen and Fitzgerald Street, Northbridge, which is on the very outer periphery of the city, which makes this location very unique and the only one of its kind, with the digital screen able to sit towards the far right side and clearly away from the tunnel entrance. The building also faces directly across to an open public space where there is lawn, feature paving, lighting, trees and six park benches for sitting and relaxing. The public space has been designed for pedestrians to gather or linger for an extended period of time if they so choose. The six park benches and the open space face towards the building and the digital screen will be orientated to be viewed by the public if they so desire. In fact, on page 101 of the Ordinary Council Meeting Agenda, there is an attachment 13.4A in the Council Report that has an aerial view photo that has been included, which clearly shows the location of the open public space that is directly across the road from the building. Plus, there is also a pedestrian bridge that goes right over the freeway and links up with the open public space as well. The digital screen will be integrated within the facade of the building so that it all complements each other. Adbrands Media is willing to work together with either the architect who originally designed the building or an architect capable of creating the look of integration with the digital screen, complementing the modern style look of the building so we can achieve the best result. Now, as with our previous development application that was brought before Council, we had a similar situation where our proposal did not meet all the policy guidelines. However, the elected councillors and the Lord Mayor all unanimously approved our development application because they could see merit and the benefits that it would bring to the city. The former elected councillors and the Lord Mayor all acknowledged that our policy is just a policy. It is not a rule that must be followed at all cost, or that it needs to be enforced. However, it is not to say that it is the only way of applying or deciding on development applications. Policies are only a guide, and the commissioners now have the final say on any development application based on its own merits and circumstances. In fact, Margaret Smith, who is a manager for development approvals, has stated herself that council, or in this instance commissioners, have the discretion to consider otherwise the council's recommendation and approve this development application should they see that there is merit in the proposal. The ultimate decision would be the commissioners. And Martin Mylan, the Chief Executive Officer, has also said himself that councillors, or again in this instance commissioners, have room to move as they have discretion to support and approve this proposal if they see merit to the benefits to the ratepayers and the community. We respectfully request for the commissioners to please use your power of discretion to support and approve this proposal because you can see merit to the benefits that it brings to the ratepayers and the community. Your support will allow for this proposal to bring some much needed life, colour and vibrancy, which adds to the fabric and landscape, and also helps in creating a more dynamic and progressive city that will have a positive impact for the city of Perth. We would be most grateful and thankful to the commissioners if you'll please use your power of discretion to support and approve this development application because you can see merit in the benefits that it will bring to the city. Thank you once again for allowing me the opportunity to speak. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Flora. Are there any questions of the deputation from commissioners?
No, Chief.
Thank you. In that case, I'll now move to the deputation from Mr. Rohan McDougall in relation to the key development sponsorship, West Tech Fest. Thank you.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for the opportunity to present to you tonight. I add my acknowledgement of the Whadjuk people as custodians of the land in which we meet. My name's Rowan McDougall, as you heard, and I'm the Director of Commercialisation at Curtin University and a founder of West Tech Fest. I'd like to start by thanking the city for its previous support of this technology-based festival over a number of years already. You have a detailed proposal before you. So I'm just going to spend a couple of minutes talking to you about why we believe that this festival is important. We're very proud of our city and its business success. However, as we're constantly reminded, technological change is happening fast and we need to ensure we position ourselves to make the most of this change for this and future generations. Despite its success, or the city's success, our city does lack economic diversity. Technology presents an opportunity for us to increase diversity and compete internationally. With a strong base of infrastructure and a highly skilled workforce, West Tech Fest is about connecting those advantages into a global market. The purpose of West Tech Fest can be summarised by the story of two young Western Australians. Many tech companies have a story about setting up and forming in someone's garage. Now, this one begins in the spare room of Melanie Perkins' mother's house in the suburbs of Perth. Here, a young couple of Western Australians were running a yearbook design website in their spare time while going to uni. Their experience with the yearbook business, Fusion Books it was called, gave them an idea about a broader application of online tools to help designers. With the outline of a good idea and some design experience, they entered the first incarnation of West Tech Fest, the WAP Awards, some 7 years ago. At this time, tech companies like Google, Facebook and Twitter were used by young Western Australians like Melanie and her co-founder Cliff, but their conception and operation of these companies happened worlds away in an almost mythical Silicon Valley. This is where the connection of West Tech Fest come in. Through introductions to Bill Tai as part of West Tech Fest, Melanie and Cliff were able to gain entry and access to this other world and make direct connections that provided advice, experience and funding to take their idea forward. Bill introduced the couple to Lars Rasmussen, who is the founder of Google Maps, who helped source them a technical co-founder, someone who could actually build the product that they dreamt of. The introduction led to the establishment of Canva and their first $3 million of investment in March 2013 from investors including both Bill and Lars. The Canva platform allows users to design virtually anything from simple posters and fun stickers to complicated graphs and billboards and is taking on global giants such as Adobe. Canva has grown now to over 10 million users in 190 countries. Since its initial investment, it secured a further $100 million in funding and is currently valued at over $1 billion, making it the first tech unicorn from WA. Canva has a workforce of around 280 people, including a 100-strong engineering team. In a recent article, CEO Melanie Perkins credited introductions made through West Tech Fest as transforming what she thought was possible. West Tech Fest is aimed at nothing less than transforming what Perth residents think is possible. The event provides tech content, connections and access to global entrepreneurs and investors with the aim of helping WA businesses start, build and grow. The Canberra story is a good one. Unfortunately for us, they relocated their business to Sydney. We need more Canberras, but also more tech companies who build and grow in Perth. That's why we're committed to West Tech Fest for the long term, and why we think other organisations with an interest in the future of the city should be too. I commend the proposal to you.
Thank you, sir. Is there any questions from the delegation? No, none. Thank you. Thank you for your presentation. Are there any members who wish to take leave of absence, or they're not on leave of absence, but applications for leave of absence? No, thank you. I'll move to then the confirmation of the minutes that of the meeting, ordinary council meeting of 28th of August 2018, and the agenda briefing session held on the 18th of September. Could someone move that be confirmed as a true and correct record? Commissioner Hammond, who's seconder? Oh, well, thank you. I'll second it then. Is there any dissent? If not, I'll declare the minutes endorsed. Now move to announcements by the Chair. Commissioners, I just want to make an announcement or a statement which leads on to what Mr. Ludiflores has mentioned, but also something I raised at the last meeting, and I'll do it for the benefit not of the staff, because I know the staff will well accrue across this, but for the public, because there's been a lot of debate in the media about the use of discretion, etc. I don't want to read from the West Australian Law Review, it's going back some time, of in 1985 actually, made by the late David Malcolm, who was a member of the bar at the time, Queen's Counsel, but also importantly was his initial chairman of the then known Town Planning Appeal Tribunal. And I'll quote in part, it's about four pages on discretion generally, but the salient points is as follows. The purported exercise of a discretionary power or discretion may be invalid if the decision maker has exercised the power at the direction or behest of some other person or body, or because he feels bound to act in accordance with a decision or finding of another body, or the power is exercised in accordance with a predetermined rule or policy, irrespective of the merits of the individual case. It has been made clear in these cases, and there's a number of he's referred to, that a decision maker is entitled to take into account government policy, which is not inconsistent with the provision or objects of the statute, although the decision maker would not generally be under any statutory duty to regard himself as being bound by that policy. The decision maker is not entitled to abdicate his function of determining whether or not, on the material before him, the decision he is making is the correct or preferable one, in favour of a function or merely determining whether the decision will conform with whatever the relevant general government policy may be. The same applies to the application of so-called guidelines. It is necessary for an independent assessment and an independent determination whether or not the circumstances of the case are such that the correct decision is that resulting from the application of state policy or guidelines in regard to the relevant facts of the matter. Just for the record. So no further announcements. Does any commissioner or employee wish to close an interest and its nature and any item within the agenda? No. Nil? That's nil for me. No staff? No. Nil? Good, thank you. Mr. CEO, Acting CEO, I understand there's no questions of which notice has been given, is that correct?
That's correct, Chair.
The same applies for no correspondence has been received?
No correspondence, Chair.
And also for petitions?
No petitions.
Thank you. Okay, so matters for which the meeting may be closed, there's a number, a couple of matters which may be closed. Could you just elaborate, please, Mr. Acting CEO?
Yes, Chair Commissioner. In accordance with Section 5.23, Subsection 2 of the Local Government Act 1995, should a Commissioner wish to discuss the content of the confidential attachments in relation to items 13.7, 13.9, and 13.17, it is recommended that Council resolve to close the meeting to the public prior to discussion of the item.
Thank you, Mr. Acting CEO. In the event any of those items are referred to in terms of the attachments, then we'll have to move behind closed doors if required. I'm advised at this stage none of the Commissioners want to deal with that, so on that basis, I don't presume we'll be going behind closed doors just for the benefit of the gallery. Now move to the items concerned. Just for the members of the gallery, the Commissioners have introduced a process where they have no disagreement with the recommendations of staff, and they'll move the recommendations as contained in the agenda en bloc. That is, the ones that are not moved as exceptions will be taken as the recommendations being endorsed. So I've been advised by the Commissioners and through administration that with the exception of the following items, which are 13.2, 13.4, 13.7, 13.10 and 11, 13.13 and 13.14, 13.16 and 13.17, which are going to be considered tonight separately, the officer recommendations for the remaining items, that is 13.1, 13.3, 13.5, 13.6, 13.8, 13.9, 13.12 and 13.15 are to be adopted by Council en bloc by an absolute majority decision. On that basis, could I have a Commissioner move accordingly, please? Yeah. Commissioner McMath and seconded Commissioner Hammond. I have no objections, so it's unanimously that there be those recommendations which are not withdrawn, the recommendations are endorsed accordingly. So on that basis, item 13.1 has been endorsed. We move to item 13.2. And I understand, Commissioner Hammond, do you have something?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, a motion that is alternate to one provided by the staff, and I move that Council approves the application for two extra car parking bays on Cathedral Avenue for the purpose of vehicle display and test driving at 28 or lot 557 Barrack Street, Perth, subject to the following conditions. One, the approval being valid for a term of 2 years from the date of the issue of the notice of determination on application for development approval. Two, a new application for development approval will be required to be submitted and approved by Council on or before the expiry of the approved term in order to continue the use and allocation of the two extra tenant car bays. Three, the two extra tenant car bays shall only be used for the parking of vehicles that are new display or demonstration models that are owned by a licensed motor vehicle dealership or distributorship.
Thank you. Do I have a second to that motion? Do you wish to speak to it?
Yes, thank you, Chair. In my view, provided that the placement and use of these vehicles does not hinder pedestrian or vehicular ingress and access in Cathedral Avenue, it is considered that the additional tenant car bays to be used exclusively for the parking of luxury display vehicles will not have any adverse impact on traffic movements on the local road network and that the application is worthy of support. Past practices have not generated any negative feedback to the city. The motion proposes approval validity for a 2-year term, after which time matters relating to ingress and egress effectiveness can be reviewed and considered in the context of an application for permanent approval.
Thank you. Any comment, Commissioner? I have a comment. I think Commissioner Hammond's suggested motion is a pragmatic one. I find it difficult to accept, and I've indicated this before to staff, the comments on this item under heritage. And I quote, It is considered that the parking of additional vehicles alongside the building and at the entrance hotel and casino, which is primarily there for display of the vehicles included use by guests out in the open and not screened by from view, will have an adverse impact on the setting and presentation of the building for Cathedral Avenue and Public Plaza. If that is the strength of the argument, then no parking should have been allowed. You can't say when vehicles are there, there's not already an impact. So therefore, the addition, as Commissioner Haven has outlined to me, makes sense. It also means, again, having regard for the guidelines and also any other policies that may apply, my previous statement in terms of interpretation of policy applies in this matter. So I fully endorse the motion by Andrew Hammond. I take it there's no dissent to the motion. Okay, I'll take it as the motion made by Commissioner Hammond is endorsed accordingly. Thank you. We now move to 13.3 was endorsed, so we don't need to discuss that. We now move to 13.4, which is lot 101 or number 190 Aberdeen Street, Northbridge. Proposed LED sky sign displaying variable third-party advertising comment. With the Commissioner's indulgence, I'd like to lead off on this. Is that all right with you, Commissioner McMahon? I've read this item now on three occasions, and I must admit I'm a bit perplexed. And I'm going to move that this matter be deferred. The reason I'm moving deferral is because there is obviously good points and what I call contradictory points in the report and having regard for the policies. On the one hand, we have a recommendation or correspondence advising, perhaps a better way of putting that, from the Department of Lands, Planning and Housing, Lands and Heritage, which sees merit in proposal, albeit being on reserve land, which would be for the Commission. And on the other hand, we have other issues from Main Roads, which says the opposite, notwithstanding there's reference in a report saying that things aren't as bad as they make out, but it's very hard to read between the lines. I would like to defer this item to allow the Commissioners to have an on-site visit and also some clarification from the Department of Planning, Lands and Housing, which obviously makes recommendations to the Commission, which appears to be contrary to the stance taken by the Main Roads Department. In doing that, I'd also seek advice from the Department of Transport, of which Main Roads WA is a part thereof. And Department of Transport is the overriding principal body of which gives advice to government and therefore to the Commission, and I would therefore say to Council. So on that basis, I'm moving that be deferred until next meeting to allow further investigation in the facts of the matter from the Department of Planning, Housing and Heritage, including Main Roads WA and to Department of Transport, and finally to allow an on-site meeting to occur for the Commissioners to make a judgment themselves. That's my motion. Any discussion on the motion?
No.
So I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Sorry, sir, but you'll have to wait.
Okay,
thank you. Okay, we now move to 13.5 has been adopted in globo. We move to now item 13.6 has been endorsed. Now move to item 13.7, which is Historic Heart of Perth, Incorporated Stage 2 Art and Landscape Revitalisation Initiative. I understand Commissioner McMath wishes to raise this matter.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to propose an amended motion that 1. Approves by an absolute majority the unbudgeted expenditure for the matched funding grant of $300,000, excluding GST, to be allocated to Historic Heart Inc. for Stage 2 Art and Landscape Project. 2. Approves the funding agreement to be executed between Historic Heart of Perth Incorporated and the City of Perth. And 3. approves the precinct development grant guidelines, bracket attachment 13-7B, closes brackets, to be formalised and incorporated into the city's suite of sponsorship and grant programs, with the required budget to be incorporated in the mid-year review process to facilitate the ongoing management of the precinct development grant program for the remainder of the 18-19 year.
Thank you. Seconded, would you wish to speak to that, Commissioner?
I do, Chair. I noted the presentation at the agenda briefing on the 18th of September by Miss Angie on behalf of Historic Heart. I have inspected the area and I believe that stage one has seen an immediate, substantial and positive impact on the East End in creating long-term change to the precinct. Historic Heart Inc. is a well-established community group which has demonstrated the following attributes: activation and enhancement of a precinct, providing a community benefit to the city, has produced high quality outcomes, has strong community support, and has demonstrated strong organisational capacity in areas of both governance and management. In recognition of the important role community groups such as Historic Heart can play, the city has in turn invested substantial effort in developing a new program for such activities, and I thank and congratulate the officers involved in doing so. I believe that supporting these initiatives is an important way the city can productively work with other groups and further leverage the efforts of such community groups for the benefit of the city. I am concerned that a smaller allocation reflecting a hybrid of option 1 and 2 may fail to achieve the critical mass required for a lasting and vibrant change in the East End. Hence, I support the full utilisation of the previous decision by Council of up to $300,000 be considered in order to achieve the maximum impact in Stage 2, and hence I support Option 3 for the ongoing benefit of the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner McMath. Commissioner Hammond, do you wish to say anything on this matter?
No, Chair.
I do. I fully endorse Commissioner McMath's comments. And I also believe that this activity, with the community support and involvement and the momentum it's generated, is exactly in line with the objectives of the City of Perth Act, which is something this Council must take into account far more in our future deliberations. We are often requested to give grants, albeit to worthy causes, but in terms of the ongoing nature of this approach and the enthusiasm adopted by not only government support, but equally, more particularly, the ratepayers and the business of the area, I think that this initiative is one that we should give a priority support to. So I endorse the proposed motion. Is there any dissent to the motion? No? Declare Commissioner McMath's motion carried. Would you care to give a reason for the change?
Yes, I had hoped that I'd outlined that sufficiently in my discussion points, Acting Chief Executive Officer. So my reasons included that I felt that Historic Heart had demonstrated the attributes that we've anticipated in the future grant program, being a well-established community group, demonstrating the attributes of activation and enhancement of the precinct. So they've been successful in stage one already, which gave a high degree of confidence in stage two. It provides a community benefit to the city in the sense of improving a precinct that in fact had, I believe, had run down over the years, and this had provided, the stage one had provided a direct benefit, and I have no reason to believe stage two won't with respect to the activation and precinct development. The outcomes are high quality and I think have stood the test of time, and I have substantiated that by actually looking at what's there now after time to see that it is of a high quality outcome. Historic Heart has very strong community support and I think has the potential to be an exemplar of a community group working with the city, and to the Chair's point before, with state government and others, and has demonstrated strong organisational capacity in both governance and management. So for those attributes demonstrated in stage one, I'm comfortable and confident that our investment in the second stage will deliver a substantial community benefit to the precinct.
Thank you, Commissioner Max. I'm sure you won't mind if the staff summarises those.
No.
It was a combination of a right of a reply plus a giving reasons, but you didn't have to give right of reply. Okay. So I think we'll summarise that for the key dot points.
Capture that.
Okay. All right, so that's been resolved. Items 13.8 and 13.9 have been adopted in the en bloc. We now move to the Wellington Square Enhancement Final Master Plan, item 13.10. I understand Commissioner Hammond wishes to make a comment on this.
Thank you, Chair. Look, I'd really happy to move this final endorsement of the Master Plan. I'd like to acknowledge the staff that have been involved with this. I see Mr. Henneveld's in the audience at the moment. But also I'd like to put on notice that master plans need to be implemented. They need to be implemented within a reasonable time frame, and we really need to be looking at a continuous project that has strategic financial support so as we can get on and complete this, so as the stakeholders, all stakeholders involved with the project, can see a really good final outcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to second that motion on the basis that you've mentioned, Commissioner. I'd also like to state that in my planning experience, this is one of the most comprehensive studies I've seen done in my local government and government, state government career, and it has been very well structured, having regard for all the community input, which is varied and diverse, and very pleased to see that this work done by the staff has now resulted in a very comprehensive master plan which can be moved forward as Commissioner Hammond has outlined. Commissioner McMath, do you wish to add anything to the motion?
No, I fully support the comments made.
Okay. Well, it's moved by Commissioner Hammond and seconded by myself. There's no dissent, so I declare the recommendations resolved accordingly. Now move to item 13.11, Council House Lighting Upgrade. Commissioner McMath wishes to raise this matter, I understand.
Thank you, Chair. I fully support this initiative. I believe that Council House has become lit up and iconic. I do have, and I'm happy to support item B, the facade and the facade. However, I do have some reservations with respect to, as it stands, but I do have some reservations with respect to the entrance lighting. I really question whether, if the budget's available, whether that's in fact how we would want to spend that. I'd welcome conversation or discussion around that.
Before we get to that, Commissioner McMath, are you moving the recommendation?
I am moving the recommendation and seeking clarification.
Okay, and is there a second? Commissioner Hammond, okay, can one of the staff answer Commissioner McMath's query?
Yes, Commissioner Hammond, Commissioner Monson, Chair. The concepts that have been prepared so far are utilising a range of block locks in rows. They can be fixed, they can be stagnated. So those initial concepts would be at the front of people entrance into Council House. So it would really be impactful on actual people entering the building, more so than the people on the street, because they'll be witnessing what's happening on the front of the building.
Thank you. Commissioner McMath.
I thank you for that explanation. My concern relates to additional information that was provided with the visual representation of that entrance lighting. And I personally felt, and this was my personal view, that with the enhanced facade lighting, that the addition of entrance lighting may in fact detract from the overall. So sometimes less is more with these things, and I would request consideration as to whether the overall impact in fact might be better without the entrance lighting.
So just so I can clarify that, you're not saying it should be deleted, or at this stage you're just querying the effectiveness?
Indeed.
So you're still happy with the recommendation as before?
I am.
Commissioner Hammond?
Just to seek some clarification there. My understanding is if this motion goes through, the procurement process will commence. If the procurement process commences, it will include that entrance lighting based upon the motion without any further reference to council. So we really, I guess, either defer this or need to resolve now whether we have the entrance lighting or not. Otherwise, this will delay the project.
Mr. Ridgewell, some advice, please.
Thank you. We can take the comments and feedback on board, and we can actually have that separated, that program of works, and that could be put through to commissioners for consultation prior to any commitment.
I think that would be, well, it certainly would be acceptable to me, so we can progress but then have the option of not going ahead with the entrance lighting if the visuals are such that they're...
Okay.
Yes, Commissioner McHammond.
I'm fine with that as long as there's no mixed messages going to the staff. Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner Hammond. On that basis, and on the basis of Mr. Ridgewell's advice, I would suggest a point 7 be added to the recommendation, which notes that issue, and that in the event that matter will be referred back to commissioners for further discussion.
I'd be very comfortable with that. Yeah.
Thank you.
So the mover is happy with that additional point 7, as is the seconder.
Thank you.
In that case, there's no dissent to that recommendation with that addition of point 7. Declare the recommendation with that addition, point 7, resolved accordingly. Now move to item 13.12 being adopted en bloc. Move to item 13.13, which is a double unlucky number, but I understand Commissioner McMath's got a query on this one.
Thank you, Chair.
You're moving the recommendation first?
I'm happy to move the recommendation.
Okay, and do I have a seconder? I'll second it for the point. Over to you, Commissioner.
Thank you. My query relates to... I beg your pardon. My query relates to the page 362 with respect to the statement of cash flow for the month ended 31st of July. Against the rates, we have a negative of $13 million, which intuitively seems unusual. I was just asking management to clarify the logic behind that, please.
Thank you, CEO. Yes, look, I can provide a response on that. I think it's acknowledged that it is an unusual item for rates to be shown in our cash flow statement as a negative number. Just to explain the accounting treatment there, this item is represents obviously the rates we've received in cash. So when we send out rate assessment notices, they're issued generally the first week in July. The majority of the revenue will be accounted for through our cash flow statement in August. We did actually receive a reconciliation done of that account. We did receive about $9 million in rates revenue for July. There would appear to have been an accounting error made with regard to the accounting for the fire services levy. So the fire services levy amount is approximately $22 million. That amount will be paid at a later month in relation to the levy that appears on our rate statements. So in reconciling the cash flow statement for July, subsequent to the query, it would appear that the negative $13 million amount shown in the cash flow statement is incorrect and will need to be adjusted in August, September financial statements. Has no effect on the overall situation, but was an accounting error.
Commissioner McMath.
Thank you very much. So that explains that. Could I ask, will you be restating the cash flow as at the end of July so that we have a correct statement for consideration, please?
Certainly.
We can do that.
Thank you.
Commissioner Hammond.
Could I just confirm then that the fees, the levy or whatever it's called, that's been accounted for incorrectly and that's created the issue?
No, the levy hasn't been accounted for incorrectly. It's the reconciliation of the cash flow statement has been accounted for incorrectly. The levy's been accounted for correctly. So when we account for the levy, it doesn't form part of our operating statements. It's held in a suspense account, in effect.
Mm.
So the accounting treatment is correct, but the reconciliation of the cash flow statement is not correct.
Yeah, okay. So the recording in the cash flow statement is not correct?
Correct.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
So commissioners were clear. Commissioner McNabb, you're still happy to move the recommendation?
I'm happy to move the recommendation subject to the provision of a correct statement of cash flow for the month ending 31st of July.
Thank you, Chair.
I'm happy with that. So in that case, subject to that amendment to the recommendation, I declare the motion, which includes the amendment, endorsed accordingly. Now move to item 13.14. Understand Commissioner Hammond has a comment on this matter.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to move the motion and congratulate Mr. Seidel on obviously his reputation within the community relating to his field of expertise. My comment is that I believe we need a more indicative and appropriate policy framework to make these decisions. And by that I mean we really need to delineate between staff attending conferences from not-for-profit organisations, of which will never deal with the city, as opposed to commercial entities or operations that may be dealing with the city, which is a whole different area of policy. And I think that they're a little bit confused at the moment, so I'd like to see the matter brought up at a CEO briefing session where we can just explore policy options for the future that will make things a little bit clearer. My view on a staff member speaking at an overseas conference that is being paid for by a legitimate not-for-profit is that it shouldn't need to come to council.
Thank you, Commissioner Hammond. I take it you're moving the recommendation.
Yes, sorry, Chair. Yes, I am.
And do I have a seconder for that? I'd just like to add my comments to the, not only supporting the recommendation and the comments Commissioner Hammond made, but equally to ensure there is a clear differentiation in policy. The because of issues with previous healthway issues in state government, and also comments made by the Office of the Auditor General, I think it wise to have an appropriate policy. Mm-hmm. So if we can take that on board.
Thank you.
In that case, and I declare the recommendation as set out in the agenda endorsed accordingly. Thank you. We now move to item 1315, amendments to Council Policy 1410, issue certificates and permits under the Liquor Control Act. That's on block, that's right. Thank you. Jumping the gun, sorry, 1316. Okay. Commissioners, I'd like to move the recommendation of the proposed policies, or policies 10.6. And I think this policy now reflects the intent of the Act and the regulations.
Board Chair, do you want to second it?
Oh, yes, please. Thank you.
Yeah, second.
Thank you, Commissioner Hammond. Glad you're watching me. as I said, I was supporting this. The Commissioners have gone out of some way not only to seek public input, of which there was minimal, ironically, but also to ensure that this policy is in compliance with not only the legislation, as I mentioned, which is both the Act and the regulation, but also its intent. I want to emphasise that this policy is not sexist. A carer can be male or female in today's society, and often males are more prone, fortunately, than perhaps in my younger days, to be a carer. What is important is that the policy is a policy, but it is transparent, it is based on the facts of the legislation, and I also want to point out that perhaps there's been some confusion in the past, but as now clearly outlined in the report, and I thank Mr. Ridgewell for this, that the child care allowance is actually set by the SAT, Statutory Administrative Allowances Tribunal. Anyway, so that's already been taken into account. It's not a matter for council at its whim to change that. And obviously the tribunal will update those findings as it does in the normal reviews. So I think the policy is clear. If there is some bona fide, and I'm talking about the broader sense of the policy now, that is not necessarily covered, but there is a bona fide reason or application, as I've outlined earlier in this council meeting, the council of the day can resolve accordingly. But it has to be on the facts, it has to be transparent, and it has to be justified in the public arena. And that's what I think is a very important outcome of the drafting of this policy. So I'm happy to support the recommendation, and it's been seconded. Any other commissioner wants to make any comment?
Yes, look, a lot has been said and written about the previous policy approach at the City of Perth, and I'm confident now that this policy is an industry standard policy and it reflects common practice, certainly in Western Australian metropolitan local governments, on the basis that the clothing allowance has been deleted, the dry cleaning allowance has been deleted, personal presentation expenses have been deleted, protocol gifts have been deleted, spectacles and aids have been deleted, and personal donations have been deleted. What we're providing now is a policy framework that is equitable, in line with good governance standards, and one that I think will serve the city well in the future.
Thank you, Commissioner Hammond. Any comment, Commissioner McGrath?
I think it passes the pub test.
Short and sweet, thank you. No other comment? If not, I take it all those are in favour of the recommendation?
Yes, sir.
They're endorsed accordingly. Thank you. And thanks to staff for their work on this matter. We now move to item 1317, the tender 134-17/18, Integrated Parking Management System. Commissioner Hammond has a comment on this. Thank you. The motion before you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm happy to move the motion, and I would, if it is seconded, then like to offer some comment within my address.
Seconded.
Thank you, Chair. The Integrated Parking Management System is a critically important project for the city. On a whole range of fronts, and therefore I'm happy to support it. However, the original package of this system also included significant expenditure in the city's off-street parking business, and I was disappointed that expenditure was put forward without a supporting business case, and also in the absence of any real business plan that could defend the expenditure and also provide commissioners with the normal return on investment requirements that you would see for investment in a commercial venture of this nature. So I'd like to make it clear that this is, as per item 3 of the motion, only for the on-street parking, and that a lot of work needs to be done with the off-street parking and the development of a business plan prior to stage 2 of this process proceeding.
Thank you, Commissioner Hammond. Any other comment? Commissioner McMath?
Thank you, Chair. My only addition to Commissioner Hammond's comments is that this is a response to a system that has is well and truly past its useful life. And I'd encourage the city to think very strategically about the importance of an ongoing investment in a fit-for-purpose and integrated IT solution. IT is no longer the tail on the dog, it's the head of the dog, and it needs to be provided for and planned for on an ongoing basis for our critical systems. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners. I've got no comment other than to endorse both Commissioners' comments on that matter. So it's been moved by Commissioner Hammond, seconded by Commissioner McMath, and I don't dissent, so I'll declare the recommendations 1, 2, 3 and 4 endorsed accordingly, and that's by an absolute majority. Thank you. That brings us to motions of which previous notice has been given. I understand no motions or motions have been received.
No, Chair.
And there's no urgent business?
No, Chair.
Okay. On that basis, I thank the gallery for their attendance and declare the meeting closed. Thank you.